The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Be right. Who want to hear from you? I'm trying to do three things here. Let's see. Trying to figure out how to do something. There we go. I guess that's working right now. Good. Now we're on the air inside a clubhouse. If you want to join us, you can do that. Also, if you're so interested to join us in the chat, you can go to rumble.com, and you can do / Matt Slick Live, and you can join us in the conversations that we have there. A lot of good people show up. It's a lot of fun. All right, so there you go. All right, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. And we're also broadcasting in Discord. I think it's about it right now. So we're doing all kinds of stuff. It's kind of fun. You know, we just get a lot of good conversations going, except I will say that every now and then we get some obstreperous individuals, people who don't want to talk and dialogue, they just want to attack, and they do it in an aggressive kind of questioning way. And if you don't answer exactly what you want when they want, then they call you coward, they call you name. We've had a couple of those lately, and we don't put up with them. You're just gone. And then they call you names and stuff because they say, you're free. And they, you know, sometimes I'll respond to them and I'll say, well, why don't we just meet behind the cafeteria after school? Because they're just being so mature. But that's just part of what happens and what we got to deal with. So if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And if you want, you can email me, info@carm.org. And I can get your comments and questions there. People do send them in, and I'm going to get to some of them right now because we have no callers waiting, which often happens in this time of the year. May, June, July is often quite slow because it's the summer, and people are out there having fun, and they're doing their thing, you know. People in the car moving, grooving, doing all that kind of stuff. But if you want to give me a call, you can. And by the way, in 3 hours from now, I'll be on Clubhouse doing a Q&A. I do this on a regularly Wednesday night. I know it's late on the East Coast because that would be 10 o'clock East Coast time. But that's just how it is right now. Because we do most of the times, you know, people now, I mean, in my area and on the Pacific Coast. And so we're trying to get it in an average area where most people can join us. And that's what we do, 7 o'clock. So if you're interested in joining in, you can ask me really tough questions. You can call up right now. And you could ask really tough questions if you want. You could say, hey, what, you know, in fact, I like that. I like it when, I'll be at a seminar someplace, we'll have a bit of talk, and I'll say, ask me your toughest question. Not saying I can answer it, but ask me your toughest one, and we'll see what goes on. Oh, and that reminds me. Oh, thanks. Oh, you put it up there. Good. So what we need is, we're going to need a favor. We need 15 people to follow the 1 Minute Christianity channel we're going to be having on Rumble. And the reason we want at least 15, we haven't even released anything yet. This is a work in advance. Once we get that, 15 people, then we can change the name from C-295-0826 to 1 Minute Christianity. But we need 15 people to go in and just do that. So all you got to do is go to rumble.com/ carmorg, carmorg, and you'll see a list of the channels, and just go to the 1 Minute Christianity and just click on it and follow. That's it. Takes 30 seconds. And if you do that, it really does help us a lot. So I'm asking for that, because then we can change the URL to what we want. And the reason I'm talking about this right now is because it's what we need. And I just spent time on the phone, an hour on the phone with our web developer, who is going to be adding a new area of the CARM site called 1 Minute Videos. What we're going to be doing, what I'm going to be doing, is developing literally 1 Minute Videos on all kinds of topics. We've got about 150 topics just in Christianity we want to get to. They're 1 minute each. It's taken me a great deal of time to get up to speed on them. And it clicked today, of all things, it finally clicked today on the order of how I'm to do things. Because there's so many balls in the air juggling, if you do one out of turn, it kind of messes things up. And I finally figured out what the proper order of all things is, and this is the card, this issue. And so I'm doing that, and I'll be doing the videos last. And we're going to have the videos, like I said, be 1 minute, plus we're going to have them with subtitles, and we're going to have them with a signing for the deaf. And that latter thing is taking us a longer time because we have to work out the details about that. But once we get the system going with that, then we'll be putting out hopefully 2, 3, 4 a day. That's on a good day. And we want to do these for a long time. When I'm, I basically get done with the Christianity ones, I want to do like 1 minute Catholicism, 1 minute Mormonism, 1 minute Islam, 1 minute atheism. And things like that. You got all kinds of stuff going to be doing. And the goal is to use my autism as a tool, as a good tool. You see, I'm autistic and have Asperger's. All right, I've been diagnosed. It's official. Well, what's the advantage of that in this case? Well, me, it's just, I just need the facts. You know, just tell me the facts, and I deliver the facts. And I do this a lot with people. They'll be questioning me on dialogues. They'll say, well, do you believe in Trinity, Matt? Yes. Well, can you explain it? Yes, I can. Well, would you? Okay, I will. I do that on purpose. For me, it's kind of fun, but I want to get people to the point where they just ask direct questions because I want them to answer directly if I ask them a question. Do you understand what the Trinity is? Yes, I do. Okay, could you please tell me what it is? And they'll go on for 5 minutes sometimes and things like that. And I tell them, come on, just give me a simple answer. I don't need all this dissertation. So I was talking to an Eastern Orthodox guy a while back, a few days ago, and I'd ask simple questions. And I'd get this 2-minute explanation of everything. And I said, no. What does this verse say right here? What does it say right here? Well, you have to understand our perspective and of all this stuff. This why I said, but what does it say? Can you even read it? What do the words say? You know, you got to go down to the level. What do they actually say? Well, it says, but it doesn't mean that. I didn't ask that, but it means it's another question. What does it say? I had to fight them like this. So that's what happens. And the advantage of this is I have a tendency to write things very succinctly, just getting to the point, the minimal information that you need. And I can do it in 60 seconds. We like to call that quick and slick. And so the idea is to arrange a whole bunch of topics in that manner. And also, we are going to be putting them up on as YouTube Shorts, TikTok, and on Instagram, and probably on Twitter as well, to be able to, to do these things. And the goal is to aim these things for the youth who just, you know, they just know a vertical world on their phone. That's all they know. So we're going to reach into that world and try and teach them. Also, I'm going to be doing a set of just difficult questions. Just questions. Well, why does God allow evil in the world in 1 minute or less? You know, what about transgenderism in 1 minute or less? And, you know, it might be part A, part B, but we're going to be doing that kind of a thing too. And so 1 minute videos, we're going to have a section, common questions. And I'm going to try and do it in 1 minute. And there's a lot here. I got basically hundreds of these videos to do. And that's one of the things we're working on. A lot of work. Anyway, if you would be so kind, if you were to go to rumble.com and go there and just go to, go to rumble.com/, it's Carm Org. I believe that's what it is. Isn't that right, Ernie? That's what it is. You just do that. And in fact, if you put the URL in there, I can watch it. I can talk about it. Make sure I get the right one where they can go in and they can find the channel. And they can just follow it. That's it. 15 people. With all the thousands of people listening on the radio right now, and the people in the chat room, and people on YouTube, and on Facebook, we're hoping we can get it done. Okay. All right, since we have nobody waiting right now online, on the phones that is, I'm going to get to questions. And people can email me comments and questions. If you want to do that, you can. And what I'll do is I'll just go from the top down, read them as, and discover them as I go. And we can tackle that. All you got to do is email me at info@carm.org, carm.org. I was reading something, CPU. Darn it, messed me up. carm.org. That's the website, carm.org. Please check it out. Okay, let's get to some of the emails. Let's see what they say. I'm surprised that so many folks can't grasp Calvinist biblical theology. When corrected on their errors, they're completely unable to be corrected and maintain their original wrong understanding of Reformed theology. That's true. I've seen that so many times. I agree. You know, I don't care if you believe it or not. That's okay. But the thing is, I'll talk to so many people, and I'll say, well, that's not what the Reformed perspective is. Let me tell you. And then they don't care. They just ignore it. That's bearing false witness, and it's spreading gossip when you do that. Oh, they shouldn't do that. But yeah, I agree. And Leighton Flowers, he does that too. That's right. Let's see, Matt, I'm listening to you visit with Jamal about the miracle of making water into wine. Love your comparison to Creation Week. It might suggest a couple more similarities. Miracle started the stone jars, the earth. Interesting. They were empty, formless, and void. Interesting. Then water was added to each of the six. Waters were divided. Head waiter said it was the best wine. He saw it was good. That's interesting. I'm going to think about that. Because I think there's some interesting relationships in there. And I never thought about it that way. So that's from somebody. I won't tell the name because they don't give it. Okay, good. Hey, thanks. I like that. That's interesting. I appreciate that. That's a good insight. I'm going to check it out to see if I agree with it, you know, if it's stretching it too much. But, hey, you never know. I'm going to look into it. Also, if you have a question for me in Clubhouse, you can ask a question there, too. It's just type in the word in caps, question, and then your question. Then I'll know, be able to scan very quickly to see that. All right, let's try this one. I don't understand all the cultural norms or the original language, so please disprove this theory if incorrect. The wedding at Cana was for a half-sister of Jesus. I don't know about that. This would explain why Mary was approached with the wine issue, who turned her firstborn in lieu of her late husband. Yeah, there's some theories about that, and I don't really know about the half-sister thing, but one of the commonly understood beliefs or kind of leanings is that Joseph probably died before Jesus was 30, and he's not mentioned after a certain point, so very early on in the Gospels. And that's probably the case. But other than that, the half-sister, I have to check on that to see what verse you're exactly referring to see if I could research it in original languages and stuff to see if there's something in that. You never know, you know? You never know. I'm always looking to learn. All right, here's another one. I'm a regular listener of your show. I have been blessed by your teaching. I'm currently going through your school of theology and highly recommend it. Oh, good. I love the way you make things short and simple. See? Just what I was saying. Or as you would describe, quick and slick. And here's my question, because the person is too shy to be on the radio. There's the break. After the break, we'll get to the question. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. I'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Now, I'm just curious about something because, let's see, went from 10 to 6 on the news site, but how the news site is 1 Minute Christianity, but that's on Carm, the new site, and Rumble is not a site per se. It's a video thing, so I'm confused on what's going on. All right, hey, if you want to give me a call, four open lines, 877-207-2276. All right, let me get into her question. It was a good question, actually, this person's question. If the whole world lies in the control of the evil one, 1 John 5:19, then how could Jesus be reigning now? Well, I would say that if you turn to Ephesians, there's the clue that there. And what is the the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. So that would necessitate then that all the rule, dominion that this demonic powers have here in the world, on the earth, Christ is above that all the more. And so he is reigning. That's how I would answer that one. All right, let's get on the air with, let's see, Jonathan from High Point. Hey, Jonathan, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you. Bear with me. I'm driving.
Okay.
I also caught that, the end of that, where the caller was asking if there's a correlation between Christ's first miracle and creation. Mm-hmm. And I guess take that a step further. It's interesting that if that's the case, that's his first miracle, and it would emphasize his role in the Godhead and as creator.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, because Colossians 1:15 through 17 says all things came into being by him and through him and for him. And John 1:1 through 4 says similar things, that all things came into being by him. And so it would make sense that since the Word is how God spoke and said, let there be light, that's the creative work. By speaking, Jesus is the Word in flesh, used in creation, the six water pots, 6 days of creation, you know, and the third day, the plants, and the third day, Jesus was at the wedding, created wine. Yeah, there's a lot of parallels there. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Love that kind of stuff. And I think the parallels are just fascinating. They're awesome.
Never end, so.
It doesn't. It's going to be great when we get to heaven and if we have Bible studies.
Right.
And I can hear the Lord saying, and did you see this? Nope. Show us, you know. It's going to be great. All right.
Well, thank you.
All right, man. God bless. All right. That was Jonathan from High Point. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. All right. Hey, tell me how many followers we have now on that Rumble thing. I'm just curious if there's an update since we're talking about it. All right. There is that. And then the same person gives me a bunch of questions. Who will be in heaven and who will be on earth? Revelation 21:1. That's a good question. I'll forgo answering that right now because I need to look at the verse. There's other ones. In fact, I copied those questions that you gave, and I put them in my list of questions to answer. And this is in the list. I haven't even categorized yet. There's 67 of them. I haven't even categorized yet, so I need to get to those. Let's just move along. Let's see. The Bible says women should be quiet and not be permitted to teach. Does that imply women cannot read the scripture for the call to service in the Lord's Day morning service? That's a tough one. What it says there in 1 Timothy 2:12 and 13, and the woman, Paul says, do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority. The word, but to remain silent. The word silent there is hesukia, and it means not absolute silence. It's in reference to you can even be more hesukia, more silent. To us, silent means you don't say anything. And that's the Greek word sagao, but it's not here. So, does it apply women cannot read the scripture or call to service? It depends. Is the reading of the scripture a position of authority in that church context? And that's what we would have to look at, because there not to be in a teaching authority position in the church. That is clear in scripture. So, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure how to answer it because I would have to see a service, and it comes down to, well, is it a place of authority? If it's not, I don't have any problem with that. You know, you could have a woman do announcements, for example, before the sermon, and then she reads the scripture. I don't see that as being an authoritative teaching thing, as long as she doesn't give exegesis on it, just reads and here's the verse. I don't have any problem with that. But nevertheless, would reading a scripture aloud to the congregation be considered teaching? No, I don't believe so. He's just reading it, that's all it is. And I'm going to say this again, that women are not to be pastors and elders. In fact, it really bothers me. I found a church in Boise area here. There's lots of them, unfortunately, that have women pastors and elders. It's really unfortunate that they do that. They don't believe the Word of God. And in that area, I've talked to so many people about this. The common responses are, well, that was cultural. You know, it's not cultural. Or it was under the husband's authority, so therefore it's okay. I'd say, where's that out of the book of Deuteronomy? I mean, it's just not there. And I've challenged so many pastors and elders and women to talk about this, and they don't want to take me up on it, which blows me away. Why wouldn't you, since the Bible says that you need to give an answer to everyone who would ask you. I've actually done that. I remember once a woman pastor, and I saw her at a coffee shop, and she had a collar on reading the Bible. I said, excuse me, ma'am, are you a pastor? She says, oh, yes. I said, okay. I've studied the Word a lot myself. Oh, well, that's nice. And I have questions about the issue of women pastors. It's a biblical context. She goes, I don't want to talk about it. I said, what? But the Bible tells you to give an answer to everyone who would ask you. I'm asking. I'm not talking to you about it. And that was really interesting to me. I was dumbfounded that this woman pastor, who's supposed to be able to exegete Scripture and obey Scripture, decided not to engage in an examination of something very scriptural, which told me she's disqualified from being in that position because she doesn't want to talk about something that she's supposed to talk about. You know, right there. Maybe I wouldn't disqualify her on that basis alone, because somebody else could do the same thing. But at the very least, women are not to be pastors and elders. And I'm going to just say this. If you're going to a church with a woman pastor, you need to leave. You don't support them. What I would recommend you do is go to the CARM website, look up the Women in Ministry thing. There is an article there that you can print up. And it's designed to be on two pages, front and back of a single sheet, and it's designed to be very quick and the basic stuff. And you can hand it to them. Say, here, this is what the Scripture says. Can you guys respond to this? I'm asking you specifically to respond to the Word of God on this issue, because Paul's giving instruction on how we're to behave in the household of God, the church. So I want to know if you're complying with this. That's a fair question, right? And if someone were to say, I don't want to do that, then they're willingly disobeying the request and the admonition to do that from the Word of God. You should leave such a church because it's bad. Hey, if you want to call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Hey, guess what? You know, earlier I asked for people to sign up for the 1 minute Christianity thing. We got it. We're able to change the name. We already got it done. And we'll be putting videos up in a week or so, if things go right. And once we get the flow going, then there's going to be a lot coming up. And so there you go. Hey, thanks, everybody. Really appreciate that. Awesome. And thanks for Ernie. To Ernie, he helps us a lot, and he runs that kind of stuff, and he knows a lot more about it than I do. So it's nice to have good people that I can depend on. Whew. All right. Let's get to Bonnie from Greensboro. Bonnie, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
I agree also that women are to be silent in the churches. And when we read the Bible, we don't see examples of women in leadership except for Deborah, the judge. Why do you think that Deborah was the exception?
Well, she was not a pastor or an elder, so it's not an exception. She was just in a place of the judges. And when the male judges, the judges were unrighteous, God raised up Deborah as a demonstration of the failure of the men. And so people bring up Deborah all the time. See, that means women can be pastors and elders. And I say, was Deborah a pastor or an elder? No. Was she in the church, as is formally declared in Scripture? No. Well, then why are you bringing it over there? So that's the issue. Because Paul says he's giving instruction on how we're to behave in the household of God, the church. That wasn't the status back then in that context. Okay? There's a lot of clicking on the line.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm in my car. I always listen to you on my way to prayer meeting on Wednesday night.
Oh, well, that's okay. It's just a bad connection. No big deal. Hey, tell them all I said hi at the prayer meeting, you know, if they listen.
I will.
I hope
everybody does. And so I'm not trying to use this argument for her to be a pastor or teacher, but I just, you don't see women in leadership positions anywhere in the Bible. They're always helpers, in a sense. And
yeah,
so,
they are.
To me, she is the exception.
Yeah. Well, think about this.
There's a prophetess.
Yes, and that's fine, too. No problem with prophetesses. I don't have any problem with that in the Bible. That's right. But think about this. When women start taking the place of the men in the church, it's because the men are weak in the church. If they're weak in the church, they'll be weak in society. Society fails. It's because of the men. They're not doing their job. That's what the reason is. Okay?
Right.
Yep.
That's okay, right. I agree. All righty. Thank you.
All right. God bless. God bless. Appreciate that. Yeah, I've talked about this so many times, and the reason women pastors exist is because of the failure of the men, primarily, because any set of good men who knows the word would not encourage or support in any way women pastors and elders. They just wouldn't do it. And the fact that you have men serving under women pastors and elders in church here in the United States just demonstrates the weakness and the ignorance and the rebellion of those men. That's right. And I would say it to their faces. I would say it to their faces. I'd say, man to man, let's talk. This is what you're doing, is what you're feeling. If they don't like it, that's just too bad. I stand on the Word of God. Men need to be rebuked about this issue, and the women need to be rebuked about this issue, and the women need to step down and need to get a man up there to do the job. Well, sometimes women say, well, then no one will do the job. Then don't get the... That's fine. Don't let the job be done then. Let the men finally get up and do it. And stop browbeating the men. There's a whole lot of dynamics. I teach on this every now and then, but anyway. Let's get back to some emails. Here's a question. Are there any parts of John Calvin's teachings you personally do not hold, and why? From what I understand, John Calvin taught that Mary was a perpetual virgin. I disagree with that. I think John Calvin was wrong. And I don't know what else he taught in some other areas, because I don't follow John Calvin. I don't read John Calvin. I just don't. And I think he made mistakes. Let's see. Van Til, Bonson, Walter Martin, Chuck Missler, tell us what you appreciate of each of these teachers, any short stories or teachings, memories you'd like to share. Van Til, I never met. However, I studied under Van Til's handpicked successor, John Frame, in seminary. Greg Bonson, I never met personally either, even though I was in the same area geographically in the same time as he was. But I have benefited from him greatly in what's called the Great Debate, where he debated Greg Bonson versus, okay, someone's got to help me out. I've listened to it so many times, but it's been a few years. Gordon Stein. So he debated Gordon Stein, a well-known atheist, and cleaned his clock. And I mean cleaned it as in vacuum-packed individual parts and mailed it back to him, clean his clock. All right? So they call it the Great Debate. I need to listen to it again. I probably listen to it once every year or so. Walter Martin, I used to go to his study. I had the privilege of going to Walter Martin's study at Meldyland across the street from Disneyland for many years, and I've met him personally before he passed away. Chuck Missler, I used to go to his study at Calvary Chapel, Big Calvary, over the years. And so I don't know if I'd ever met him, but I've been under his study many times, and I've learned so much from Chuck Missler. I listened to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of Chuck Missler's stuff. Walter Martin, someone said, you got any stories? I'll tell you a story about Walter Martin. Incidentally, it's a coincidence, my mom and dad's pastor, who married them, was the pastor for Walter Martin. You know, small world. Well, anyway, I used to work at CRI volunteering in the evenings to raise funds for a building thing that they were doing when they were in Southern California before Hank Hanegraaff took it over, went rogue, and became an apostate in the Eastern Orthodox Church. So Walter Martin, before he passed away, he came in to CRI, And we were there with a friend of mine, Dan Schlesinger, who was running the gig at the time. And Walter Martin, there he is. Wow, you know. And so I met him a couple of times, said hi, but he didn't remember me. That's fine. And so Dan said, hey, Dr. Martin, could you pray for us? And he said, sure, I'd be glad to. And just happened to be where we were sitting. He put his hand on my left shoulder and put his other hand on somebody's right shoulder. Just happened to be where he was sitting, where we were sitting. And he started to pray. And I still remember it. We all were praying, and I stopped praying while he was praying because I was blown away by the depth of his prayer and the power. I was actually just like, whoa, that's what prayer is. I was distracted by his great ability to pray. And if I remember correctly, I think he died praying too. So he's a man of prayer. And those were the stories. So there you go. All right. All right, let's get to some more emails. If you want to call me, you can do that. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And if you want, you can email me at info@carm.org and just type in a comment or question for the radio. And I can get to them and see what I'm doing right now to see if anybody... No, nothing new came in. Oh, there's a question came from... Yeah, there we go. Let's see. Let's see. Put this over here, and I'll read them, because they just came in. All right. I kind of like doing this, just stuff like that. All right. So, hey, Matt, heard your radio show today. You plan to do YouTube Shorts. Thank you for sticking on YouTube. It's important that you stay... Of course it is. We are going to stay on YouTube. We're not going to abandon it, but we're not going to trust it. I was watching Candace Owens, who I think is awesome, and she was talking about how she's being penalized and on YouTube, and also Matt Walsh. He's being penalized on YouTube, and they were demonetizing his stuff. Why? Because he's asking questions about what a woman is. And this is insane. YouTube shouldn't do that. It's just Marxist, leftist crap that's being put down the pike about what you can and can't say. And that reminds me, people, they use this word, you're transphobic. I was thinking about that. If someone accused me of being transphobic, I'd say, you're darn right I am. I'm also a drug cartel phobic. I'm mafia phobic because they can hurt you. They can do some bad stuff. Yeah, I'm transphobic because I fear what they do when they go into children's schools and try and get them to believe in this stuff. I'm afraid of what they'll do in libraries and how they try and drag this and drag that because they all support the same stuff for children. Yeah, I worry about that. And I'm afraid that, if I don't use a proper noun, a pronoun properly, that you'll sue me or I'll lose my job because you want to force me to speak a certain way. Yeah, I'm transphobic. I'm afraid of what you're going to do and how oppressive you're going to be. You're darn right I am, and so should everybody else be. Yeah. Yep. Okay, a little emphasis on the P's there. All right. So, yes, we're going to be doing those YouTube shorts. There's just so much to do, so much to work on. And we got to have a new system to be able to upload stuff. I haven't even learned how to do that yet. Oh, but it's going to be worth it. You guys should be praying for me. You should be praying for this because there's been so many battles, so many uphill battles we've had to overcome to get this to even where we're at. And we haven't even got anything produced yet. Oh, wow. Hey, there's the break. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, if you... Whoa, sometimes, Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. All right. So here's another email that came in. Love your show, sense of humor, and your website. Thanks for your service. You're welcome. I'm concerned about my small community church not following God's instructions and commands for the church. The pastor often asks women to give brief talks about various scriptures to the congregation. He has employed a young lady who is doing a theological degree, who teaches the children, writes her own songs for Sunday worship, and also talks about the scripture. Okay, now there's more. I'm going to comment here. So varying scriptures to the congregation, brief talks about it. That means if she is in that, doing this to the congregation, approved by the pastor, then she's in a place of authority as she's teaching. And the pastor is wrong for that. She is wrong for that. Can she get a degree? Of course she can get a theological degree. There's no problem with that. I think women should get theological degrees. They can be greatly used in writing, in teaching women and children. They can even correct the men when the men blow it. If the women are theologically trained and understand something. You know, if I was in a church and believing what I do about women pastors and elders, if I was preaching and teaching regularly, and a woman came to me and said, I think you're making a mistake in a certain area, I'm going to listen to her. Well, okay, what do you think? And if she says, well, here's this and that, I'm going to listen. I'm not going to dismiss her just because she's a woman. Are you kidding? Because women have insights men often just don't have. And I would be a fool to ignore her. I would be very interested to hear what she had to say. In fact, one of the things I would love to do, I'm serious, I would love to sit in a room with 10, 20 women and just talk church stuff. And just say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Why this? Why that? I would. I'd like them to feel free to just be as honest as possible. You know, they said, men are really blowing it. You're not going to hear me complaining about that one. You know, I mean, as far as the truth goes, it is true. But I would like to do that sometime. That'd be interesting. Oh, we've got more to read in that one, but we've got a call waiting. So I'm going to get to Clarice from North Carolina. Clarice, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm fine. A little melancholy and semi-obstreperous today.
Yes. Well, I have about 9,000 questions.
Okay.
That I want to ask you. So
sure.
I'll narrow it down to one today, though. Okay.
Hope it's not more than 100,000 words.
But I have spoken to. Mm-hmm. I have spoken to my Bible study leader here at home, and she and I are close friends, and so we do want to have a small group private conversation.
Ooh.
Because we study the Word, and we think you are very knowledgeable, well-read, and we just don't take some things at face value. We want it researched. Do we want it scripture? Where did you get that from? You know, we just, and I agree with things you say, everything you said, I believe I agree with. That's a period. So
good.
My question, though, is this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to preface it by saying I was raised by my grandparents. We always canned, put up food, stored up for the winter, whatever. Mm-hmm. Always had things for the winter, the next year, you know, whatever. So I know that you told a listener a week or so ago, and he brought up the verse from Proverbs about the ant.
Mm-hmm.
I can't quote the verse, but, you know, in Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, even though I am doing this, I do put food back, I do can, I do have this in the back of my mind because I know the crazy regime that's going on and what they're trying to do for our country,
mm-hmm.
to our country, and are doing.
Yes.
But my question to you is this. When I'm reading Jesus in the Beatitudes,
mm-hmm.
he says, take no thought for tomorrow, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, you know, and then look at the birds. Mm-hmm. And then he also said in Psalms, he daily loves us with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also said in the Beatitudes, give us this day our daily bread.
Mm-hmm.
And also in Scripture, there's verses, take up your cross daily and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, in reading these verses, Jesus doesn't tell us to store up anywhere. I've read, you know, in Paul's epistles and all. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture in the New Testament. In the Old, I do, not in the New. And so my question to you is, I do store up, and I do believe things you've said about it. However, scripturally speaking, in the New Testament, how do you line up with that?
It's easy. When Jesus was speaking in the Beatitudes, he was speaking covenantally to Israel, giving generic wisdom statements. So when he's saying, don't worry about tomorrow, he's not saying, don't be concerned about it. He's saying, the emphasis is trusting your Lord. But if we aren't supposed to worry about tomorrow, then why does the Bible tell us to plant crops and to take care of your family and things like that? In fact, God even gave Joseph a dream where when he was a prisoner in Egypt, and he told Pharaoh, you know, came out of the prison, told Pharaoh 7 years of a plenty, 7 years of drought. So they prepped. This is a thing that God wanted them to do. So we have to balance all of Scripture. And yes, it's okay for Christians to prepare. It's okay for them to have batteries. It's okay to have flashlights, to have bullets, to have water, to have various things. But we're not trusting in those things. We're trusting in Christ. And that's the issue, is that Christians aren't to trust in those things. They're to have them, and they're to prepare. Just like people have insurance, car insurance, health insurance. Well, if we're not to prepare for the future at all by food, well, then why do we have car insurance and health insurance? Because of possibility of something that may go wrong. It's the same kind of a thing. So when Jesus says, don't worry about these things, he's talking about this in comparison of the issue of trusting God over everything else. Don't put your hope and your trust in these items and this worldly possession. That's basically what's going on, okay?
Okay, I mean, I see your analogy, and I agree with you. I just let me give you a scenario, and I'm not trying to play the D's advocate because I don't use his name, but you know what I'm saying. I just want to ask you. Mm-hmm. Let's say things really do get bad, like I know they're going to.
Yep.
But you have an elderly lady over here who lives by herself, has no family, and she didn't have a lot. And you got Joe Schmo over here that, you know, loaded up with stuff. Well, nobody's taking care of this lady over here. She's just a godly woman that loves Jesus, prays, but she's not stored up. So do you think that God will not supply her need because she wasn't smart and stored up?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying without being nitpicky?
Yes, but it's a generic question that where the implications could give a specific answer. And it's difficult because if she's a good, godly woman, well, you know, then praise God, you know. And if she's trusting, maybe she has more faith than you and I do. I don't know, you know, because God can certainly cause ravens to bring food to people and drop it in their backyard and they can survive. We know that that's a possibility.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
But, you know, right. Now, in Proverbs 30:25, they answer not strong people, but they prepare their food in the summer. And so, well, what's he talking about? He's talking about preparing. And so this is what is okay for us to do. It's a wisdom thing. If they prepare their food in the summer, which means during the winter, you're not going to have food. Well, this is the very thing that the Scriptures want us to do. So, for example, I do a little bit of prepping. Nothing crazy, you know. I don't have a heliport and lasers that, you know, and all this stuff, you know, and sirens and lights and barbed wire. I don't believe in that. But, you know, I have enough just to take care of my wife and I and our one daughter for a little bit. I'm not going to give any details, but we have enough to do that because we should do that.
Right.
And that's all. And we have enough to do what we need to do. So I, you know, I'm not going to give any details, but I do recommend that people prepare.
I don't want details, by the way.
Yeah, because people know where I live. I've been swatted. People come knocking the door. They do things at night, and we get persecuted here.
But, I can only imagine.
Oh yeah, it's fun. Yeah, there's so many tolerant.
May
people
I ask you? May I ask you? I'm going to just ask one more thing related to this.
Sure.
You probably know this. I found this out with the Y2K thing because of, you know, everybody freaked out, you know, thinking our system's going to crash, all of this. So I found out that FEMA has a law that it's a hoarding law.
Yeah.
And a pharmacist told me about this because I said I would need medication, blah, blah, this. He says, you can't get extra prescriptions. You can't store anything extra because if your neighbor has need and you have it, the government can come in and take it.
Yep.
So you know this, right?
Yeah, it's oppressive and it's Marxism. I will say this, that I have heard that you can go to pet stores and you can go to the fish department and you can look at medicines that are used to help fish in tanks and they have similar ingredients. So,
okay.
I've heard that.
Well, I'm a huge proponent of ivermectin and all those things for COVID, mm-hmm. which that's for another day. So,
yeah. I'm with you.
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I will email you about having a group session with some friends of mine that are interested in the Word of God and wanting to know truth.
Hey, there you go.
Not crazy heresy people. Just we want truth.
Well, they're going to trust a guy named Slick?
I don't know. It's very, very questionable. But
good for you.
We'll try.
We'll try. So I got to watch my P's and Q's and don't say things like, hey, where's the sandwich? I'll get in trouble right away.
Especially if it's a bunch of women, because, you know, women can be vultures.
Really? Wow. That's amazing.
Sure we can.
Wow.
You read about Jezebel, didn't you?
Wow, my 10-foot pole's not long enough. Okay.
But listen, there is no women pastors in my group, FYI.
Good for you. Yeah, tell your group to write down the most difficult questions in person. You know, even personal stuff I'll answer, I don't care. But, you know, they won't intimidate me. It's not going to be a big deal. But it'd be fun, okay?
I can definitely tell you're not easily intimidated, and that's all I'll say about that.
Unless my wife looks at me a certain way, then that's it, it's over. Yeah, but other than that, I'm okay.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
You really helped to clarify something again, and we'll look forward to speaking with you soon. God bless.
God bless you. All right. Well, thanks for calling, Clarice. All right.
Okay,
bye-bye. There we go. All right. Hey, that's perfect timing. Look at that. There's the music. May the Lord bless you by His grace. We'll be back on there tomorrow. And remember, in 2 more hours, I'll be on Clubhouse just doing a public Q&A. You can bring your tough questions if you want to do that. Clubhouse is an app on the phone. You can download it, sign up. It's easy. It's free. Just look for my name around 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and you'll find it. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.